sit down, please.
Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, thank you. All right. I will. Amen. All right, thank you for that special, excellent special. I appreciate the energy. There wasn't much before that, amen? When you start a chapel service that Brother Colson went to heaven, there are no birthday bags. Dr. Stubblefield is the grumpiest I've ever seen him. Thank God for that special, amen? A little energy there. Anybody tired today? Would you raise your hand if you're tired? Brother Collins and I were talking in the speaker's room, and I told him my whole freshman year, I thought Brother Colston was the pastor because I would fall asleep while he was reading the scripture and wake up while he was baptizing, and it took me a while to figure out Brother Hiles was the pastor. But I was only kidding. Then he started telling true stories about how he really did sleep a lot. I used to go on my bus route in Division 9. Yes. Amen. On Saturday, and we would start early with prayer meetings and division meetings and captains meetings, and then go up to the route. And back in our day, you were unspiritual if you got home before 11 o'clock, and so Saturdays were very long days. And then we'd get up early on Sunday and get the buses and take them up to the city and pick up kids and bring them to church, and then bring them back home again and ride the night bus, because you're not godly if you don't ride the night bus. And that was then. I don't know what it's like now, but that was then. And after we dropped off the last person on the night bus, they would drop me off at downtown Chicago, and I would walk about 10 blocks to work, and I would work all night long. And then I would come back on Monday morning, and I would go to class. And my notes on Monday mornings were always the same. They always looked like this. I have a lot of those in my notebooks from Mondays. But I had a date one Monday in chapel with a really cute girl. And she's sitting right over there. And I married her, amen. But I didn't want to fall asleep in chapel because I didn't want her to think less of me. And I probably at that point had slept 5 hours out of the last 70. And I thought, I got to stay awake. And I had a brilliant idea that I would use a thumbtack. And I would put it on the chair under my leg, and I would hold my leg up the whole chapel service. That would keep me awake. And if for whatever reason I did fall asleep and my leg went down, the thumbtack would poke me and wake me up. And about halfway through chapel, I was having this vivid dream that somebody was stabbing me in the back of the leg. And I woke up, and sure enough, I'd fallen asleep and my leg went down, and there was blood on the back of my pants, and it was not the best date we ever had. If you're tired this morning, you're welcome to stand up or whatever you have to do. But I'm glad you're here. Glad you're awake right now. And I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. I've been looking forward to this and been preparing for it for a while, because I want to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing thought to me that when God saves us, that He allows one-third of the Trinity to move in and to live inside of us. That's something that wasn't the case in the Old Testament, but there was a change, and I'm going to show you read some verses to you about when that began. But I thank God that God's not just there, but that God's here, and that He's with me every day, because I need Him. I need His help. I need His comfort. I need His guidance. I need His teaching. I need His strength. And He's here. He's living inside of us and waiting to give that to us. And I feel like oftentimes we can go an entire day without ever listening for His voice, without ever talking to Him, without ever recognizing the fact that God is inside of me and wanting to help me, and that He loves me. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16, if you'd look there with me, and I'll read out loud while you follow along silently. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Bible shows us very clearly here that when we get saved and the Holy Spirit moves in, that a warfare begins. There's a constant battle going on in your life between your flesh and the Holy Spirit. They can never be reconciled. They're always going to be fighting against each other. And if you decide to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, your flesh is going to fight against that. And if you decide to do what your flesh wants to do, the Holy Spirit is going to fight against that. You can never do 100% what you want to do. Somebody said one time, the Christian does not win the battle by winning the battle. We win the battle by just staying in the battle. The battle is always going to be there until the day that we die. But my flesh does not want to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do, and what the Holy Spirit wants me to do is not what the flesh wants me to do. And that's because he lives within me, and I'm grateful that he does. But it was not always the case. When you read about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Bible most of the time uses the phrase that the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon David. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson. And the Christians, the believers in the Old Testament, they were aware of the Holy Spirit, but he wasn't living inside of them. Don't turn there. Let me just read to you. Would you listen carefully? In John 7, verse 37, Jesus is speaking. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And then verse 39 is in parentheses. Can I just say this? Anytime that you see parentheses in your King James Bible, that's a signal to you that there's doctrine involved. And you ought to pay attention. It's not just an appositive, it's doctrine. And the New Testament, or the King James translators, when they took the Bible from Greek and Hebrew and translated it into English, used parentheses to get your attention. Verse 39 says this, "But this spake he of the Spirit," capital S, "which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." We have a doctrine here that the Holy Spirit was going to live inside of us, and that he would flow like rivers of living water, but that he had not been given yet. There was one thing that had to happen before he could be given, and that was that Jesus Christ had to be glorified. Of course, his glorification happened at the resurrection. He died, he was buried, he was in the tomb for 3 days. He rose again on the third day. He rose in a glorified body. He was glorified by his Father. And that night, the night of his resurrection, the disciples were hiding in a room in fear, and he suddenly appeared to them. And the very first thing that he said to them was, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. The Bible says this in John verse 16, chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." All of those verses mentioned by Jesus Christ there, all of those descriptions of the Holy Spirit are all in the future tense. When he comes, here's what he's going to do. When he comes, he's going to guide you. When he comes, he's going to show you truth. When he gets here, your life's going to change. Then on that night after his resurrection, Jesus Christ appeared there. In John chapter 20 and verse 22, it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Jesus Christ showed up to a room full of, 11 men at least, fearful men hiding there because the man that they had followed for 3.5 years had just been crucified and buried. And then Mary came saying the tomb's empty, and they're wondering what's going on here. Peter and John checked. Sure enough, there's no body there in the tomb. What's happening here? And suddenly he appeared among them. "Fear not." And then he said, "Guys, It's time. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Something happened that night that's been happening ever since. That somebody that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the one who died for our sins and redeemed us with His blood and has given us a home in heaven, when we take that as truth and we receive that gift of eternal life, God gives us more than eternal life. He gives us Himself. He gives us the Holy Spirit that moves inside of us and begins to change us. And the Bible says if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Romans 8 verse 9, the Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. There is no Christianity without the Holy Spirit indwelling now. And if you're saved here this morning, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, He came to live inside of you because He wants to have a relationship with you, because He wants to work with you and teach you and comfort you and guide you and help you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be involved. John chapter 14, verse 26. I'm reading a lot of verses here at the beginning. But John chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I put this verse here before I knew that Brother Colston went to heaven this morning. But aren't you glad that Mrs. Colston has a Comforter today? How many of you have gone through a hard time? Isn't it amazing that God knows and God doesn't just observe from heaven, but that living inside of us, He says, I'm here to go through this with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. God doesn't leave us alone during our hard times. He said, I'm right here for you. And I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want you to have a relationship where we're together so that when the hard times come, when the difficult days of college come and you're going through those difficult days, you're not going through them alone. I'm right here with you. I want to be a part. I want to give you the comfort. I want to give you the strength. I want to give you the understanding that you need. I want to talk to you. Are you listening to me? Are you letting me be involved in your life? Have you spoken to Him today? Have you asked Him to guide you today? Have you asked Him for comfort today? Have you asked Him to teach? Maybe you read something in your Bible this morning and you didn't understand it. Did you stop and say to the author of the book, would you help me to understand what you wrote in this book? There's a truth here. I've got a situation in my life and I want to do what's right. I want to know what the right answer is, and there's nowhere that I can get it except from you, God. Holy Spirit, would you teach me today? Help me to know what I ought to do in this situation. I want to do right. And He's there for us. But we don't always walk with Him. The Bible says, and the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit like He's a person, and I believe that He is. And just like any other person, he can be hurt. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you know that it's possible to grieve God? Imagine this. Imagine somebody comes to Hiles Anderson College, and many of you are here, and you are working, and you're paying your way through college, but imagine I imagine there's some people like this here, but you came and you don't have to work. Somebody's paying your way. Somebody's putting the money on your school bill, and you don't have to get a job. You don't have to go work. You don't have to pay your room and board. It's all covered for you. You come to school, and all you have to do is study and pass. But there's no gratefulness. There's no thankfulness for that. And you're doing something that your benefactor wouldn't like. And if that were the case, I would say somebody like that would be immature, ungrateful, unspiritual. And I think most of us would agree. Boy, if somebody paid my way, I'd be grateful. I'd be writing them thank you notes every Friday, maybe more than that. Boy, if somebody was paying my way and they wanted me to do something, I'd do it, whatever it took. Well, if Bill Gates walked in and said, I'll pay for your whole education, just make sure you don't do this. Well, I'm not going to do that. Make sure to keep him happy. God says, I gave you my Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you, who has the answer for every problem that you have. If you know something bothers him, don't do it. If there's something that God says is wrong, don't do it. Don't break the heart of the one that's living inside of you, trying to help you and succeed in your life. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. I think we ought to acknowledge him, be thankful toward him. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel vexed the Holy Spirit. V-E-X-E-D, they vexed the Holy Spirit. That means they bothered him. They irritated him. You ever put a shirt on and there's an itch in the shirt? And it's always right in the middle of your back where you can't quite reach it? And you think, oh, it'll go away? And halfway through your third class, it's driving you crazy because it's still itching, and you know you're trying to surreptitiously get a hand back there and you can't quite reach it. You're rubbing on the chair. It's like, man, this thing is vexing me. You know, we can vex the Holy Spirit that way. I wonder if there's something going on in your life, and you say, well, Brother Bushy, I know it's not sin, but you also know that it's irritating the Holy Spirit, bothering him. And sometimes we let little things come into our lives and we let them go because, well, they're not part of the Ten Commandments. Show me a Bible verse. But in our hearts, we know that the Holy Spirit's been kind of whispering to us and say, hey, that bugs me. Would you mind stopping that? You know, you've been clicking your pen for 16 hours straight. Would you please quit now? It's vexing me. You know what vexes me? It vexes me when I'm teaching class and a student who's working hard and paying good money comes to class to sleep. I don't know about other teachers, but that bugs me. I'm like, what were you doing last night? Do you know why you have a bed in your room? Do you know it's okay to use it? Do you know there's nowhere in the handbook says you got to stay up late? Well, Brother Bushy, I'm 18. I know, go to bed at 9 o'clock. It's okay, if you can. As opposed to playing games till 3 in the morning. Not that anybody would do that, but just saying. Is that good stuff? I think it's time to grow up, guys. You're not little boys anymore playing little games anymore. It's time to grow up. God's trying to turn you into men of God. And it's going to happen in the classroom. That's not where it happens. You ever decided to watch a movie? And I don't mean a wrong movie. I mean just a movie, and yet something, as you were getting started, something kind of niggled. Is that a New Zealand word? Do you use that in America? I forget some. No? That's a New Zealand word. It niggles at you. It just kind of pokes you a little bit. You just expanded your vocabulary. Aren't you glad you're here today? And you start watching that movie and something's niggling at you. You're saying, I really don't have time for this. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a colossal waste of time. And an hour and a half or 2 hours later, you say, why did I do that? I think sometimes we just annoy the Holy Spirit. Because he said, you know, you got one life. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Do something worthwhile with your life. I wonder if there's something that the Holy Spirit's just been kind of niggling you about. And you're just hanging on to it. And you're wondering why your devotions aren't sweet. Why is it that my soul winning's not effective? How come I read my Bible and don't get anything out of it? Why is it that I go to church and I listen to the same sermon that everybody else listens to, and they're walking the aisle because they obviously got something from it, and I got nothing out of it? Why is that? God says, you have my Holy Spirit inside of you that teaches you as you're reading the Word of God and listening to the preaching of the Word of God. But if you're annoying him, if you're grieving him, there's a short verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's in that section that we like to memorize, you know. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, avoid all appearance of evil. All the college level verses, amen. Because they're like two or three words and you can memorize them quickly. One of those verses in there says, quench not the Spirit. I remember being a guy in college. That probably seems strange to you that I can remember that far back. But one of the things that happens when you get older is that 5 years wasn't that long ago. When you're 54, 5 years ago was less than a tenth of my life. Some of you, it was a quarter of your life ago. Some of you, you look like it was a third of your life ago. I remember sitting where you're sitting, and I remember getting up the courage to ask somebody out on a date. Okay, that just got real. Okay, so here's a young man who notices a young lady and says, woohoo, hubba hubba. Spiritually, I believe it would please the Lord if I dated her. But something about that young lady catches your attention. You say, I think I'd like to get to know her better. And maybe you do some, you know, feeling around, like talk to a roommate, have your roommate talk to a roommate. Before I ask her, do I want to know if she's interested or not? Yes, you do. Should I talk to a staff member? Not a bad idea. Should I just walk up out of the blue and she didn't even know my name and ask her out? Dumb idea. But I'm interested, and so I want to go ask this girl out on a date. And I've been thinking about this girl for 2 weeks, and I found out her name, and I've done some research, and I talked to her roommate. And so finally, you get that courage up, and you say, this is it. Boy, after chapel, I'm going to accidentally walk past where she sits, and I'm going to ask her out. You go by and say, hi, my name. And she said, not interested. This is just an illustration. That's also called quenching. Quenching. Now, if that happens, I know some guys that try again. I've heard stories about guys that have tried numerous times. Sometimes they even end up marrying that gal after getting stiff-armed about 15 times in a row. But it's not fun. Can I get an amen, guys? It's not fun. Do you know the Holy Spirit says to you, why don't you use the altar? And you say, not interested. Why don't you give a tract to that person? Oh, I'm not right now. Hey, why don't you put your phone down and read your Bible? Oh, yeah, this is better. And we quench the Holy Spirit. We stiff-arm the Holy Spirit. And just like that young man that's working up the courage to go ask that young lady out on a date who gets stiff-armed, if it happens enough, it's very likely that he's just going to stop asking. And sometimes we stiff-arm the Holy Spirit and he backs off, which is a horrible place to be. Because you can have God living inside of you with no communication going on. You say, Brother Bushy, how do I know how I'm doing? How many of you are saved this morning? Would you raise your hand? Amen. How many are baptized? Would you raise your hand if you've been baptized? Scripturally baptized after you got saved. Keep your hand up. Good, good. How many of you are walking with the Spirit? Huh. It's kind of hard to know, isn't it? How do you know? You still have your Bible open to Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're obvious. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. First thing I notice from this list is that pornography is not new. It's been around for thousands of years. Immorality is nothing new. You say, Brother Bushy, you understand what our generation has to deal with? Yes, sin. You have to deal with a battle between, do I give into my flesh or do I listen to the Holy Spirit? And immorality is just as wrong now as it was then. And somebody that gets involved in immorality, whether it's physical or whether it's with pixels on a screen, it's still immorality. And it's obvious that it's from the flesh. It's manifest, the Bible says. It also says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Do you know what variance is? Variance is the person that says, I'm a little different than everybody else. I'm not like all the other students at Hiles Anderson College. I want everybody to know that I'm unique. No, we're all just flesh. We're just flesh. And we ought to be humble about it. Because really, as one preacher said, I'm just a ball of dirt with God's breath breathed into it. And one ball of dirt's never better than another ball of dirt. Then it says emulations. Variance says, I'm different than everybody else. I'm unique. By the way, that's the devil's best lie. The devil's best lie is you're different. And if we think we're better than everybody else, he applauds that and says, you are, you're different than all them. You're smarter than all them. You know better than all. The rules are for them, not for you. Good for you. And he applauds that because that's pride. Or you say, I'm different than everybody else because I can't win over this battle. I've got this sin in my life and nobody else understands that sin. I've got this thing in my background and nobody else understands. And the devil applauds that and says, that's right, you're unique, you're unusual, you're different. And that's pride. We're all sinners. That's all we are at best, is we're saved sinners. And in that respect, we're all the same. Variance says, I'm different than everybody else. Emulation says, I'm better than everybody else. I have a bus route, and my bus route's the best, and I'm going to compete and show everybody that I'm the best. It's not your bus route. It's his bus route. We're just serving there. It's not a competition. Division 9's not against Division 14, which is not against Division 1. We're all on the same team. That's emulations. I don't mind a little bit of fun and competition in that, but just remember, we're all on the same team. The works of the flesh are wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Hey, if you got books in your room that disagree with the doctrine of this college, would you either get rid of the books or find a different college? I'll tell you, there's nothing that appeals to the flesh like Calvinism. Nothing that appeals to the flesh like a work salvation. They're heresies. The Bible says that the things that the flesh produces, they're obvious. It's not tricky. If you're involved in them, they're wrong. The Bible says in verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That verse does not say that if you sin one of those sins, you're not going to heaven. It just says that God bought something for you and you haven't got it yet. He bought you a Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to direct you through every day of your life. Do you know that God is sitting on his throne and he has a set of rules that control his kingdom? And if you're following your flesh, you're not in that kingdom. You're living in this kingdom. You're living for the God of this world, not the God of the next world. And when you're following your flesh, you're missing out on what God has for you. God says, as long as you're listening to the me, 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 I, it's all about me, you're missing out. And they can't go both ways. But then the Bible says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. This is how you know when you're walking in the Spirit. Because the works of the flesh disappear and the fruit of the Spirit appears. Love, joy, peace. They don't go together, do they? You can't have seditions and heresies and variances, emulations, and peace. You got to have one or the other. Which one describes your life? Which one describes your thoughts? Which one describes your heart? Are you walking in the spirit or are you following the flesh? Long suffering. Are you patient with other people or are you ready for strife all the time? One is a fruit of the flesh, one is a fruit of the spirit. Are you walking in the spirit? I had a situation happen this week, and this is a little thing and it's kind of personal, and I'm just going to open the door to the Bushy house for a minute here. But we're getting ready for the wedding last week. Things were busy around the house. I got up one morning, I went downstairs, and I noticed that there were things on the kitchen floor, some crumbs and things that had spilled on the floor, and my first thought was, somebody ought to clean that up. You ever had that kind of a thought? Somebody should fix that problem. That was my first thought. And then I heard a small voice that said, how about you, big guy? He calls me big guy sometimes. He was niggling at me. He said, how about you? There's a broom over there. And I thought, you know what? I know how to drive a broom. I've done it before. And so I went over and I got the broom and I started sweeping the floor. Not what my flesh wanted to do, but I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to do that. And so I started sweeping the floor. And my wife walked in the door and saw me sweeping. And she said, the love that came into my heart when I saw that. Guys, just giving you a hint here. All right? You want your wife to be deeply in love with you, sweep the kitchen floor. That's doctrine right there, but there we go. She said, the love that came into my heart. And I thought, you know what? I listened to the Holy Spirit, and guess what the fruit was? Love. Do you know that when we surrender our own will, our own flesh, and we listen to the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what comes from that decision. That's the result of it. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Can I ask you, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you communicating with Him? Are you letting Him teach you? Because that's what He does. He teaches. Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Or perhaps you've been vexing Him. Just little things that if you listen, if you heard His voice, you'd know that you needed to take care of that. But I'm just going to hang on to it a little bit longer. And it's like an itch in the middle of the Holy Spirit's back. Have you been grieving the Holy Spirit? He's been so good to you, and you keep throwing in His face things that go against what He says is right. Have you quenched the Holy Spirit? I know what I should do right now, and I feel the pull, but I'm not interested. Is that happening in your life? Because we need Him. We are not going to make it in the Christian life without Him comforting us during the hard times, without Him teaching us what we need to know, without His guiding hand saying, no, don't go that way, go this way, don't do that, do this, don't date her, don't marry him. We need His guidance. We're not going to make it without Him. We need to be listening to Him. We need to be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to have a relationship with God every day? Are you ready to take time every morning and open your Bible and say, Holy Spirit, would you teach me from your book today? I'm going to read your word. Would you help me to understand it? Holy Spirit, I'm going through a tough time right now. I've got a burden that I don't know if anybody else understands it. It's pretty, I don't know who to talk to. I'm really struggling here. Can you please help me with this? Holy Spirit, I've got a decision to make today, and I don't know the right thing to do. I really need some guidance here. Would you guide me today? And Holy Spirit, when you speak, I'm going to be listening. I want to be tender to the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about some who their conscience was seared. It got burned and scarred to the point where they couldn't feel that light touch. They couldn't feel that leading. They couldn't hear that still small voice because they'd put it off so long. No, not right now, not right now. Sorry, not interested. And he just stopped. Please don't get there in your life. Don't get to the point where your Holy Spirit's not speaking to you anymore. If you've been here all semester and haven't felt the urge to go to the altar, that's probably not God's fault. That's probably because you're not tuned in. And there's a Holy Spirit that wants to speak to you and for whatever reason isn't able to. Say, Brother Bushy, why not? Ask him. I've found that if there's something between the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, what is it? He shows me pretty quick. Because he knows what it is. And if you'll go with an honest and a tender heart and say, what is it between us? He'll let you know. Because he wants it right. Would you stand with me with your eyes closed and your heads bowed? Father, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us a friend that dwells within us that we can walk with every day. A friend that can guide us and teach us and comfort us, help us through our tribulations. Father, I pray that you would help us as your children to have a tender heart, tender ears. Help us to be yielded to your Holy Spirit. I pray that we would not quench him, that we would not vex him. I pray that we would not grieve him. God, help us to be led by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the young people in this room, the staff here in this room, I pray that I would be led by your Holy Spirit on a daily basis, that we would enjoy the kingdom of God which we've inherited. Father, I pray that you bless every decision made here this morning in Jesus' name.